Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
One local mom, in essence, I say local Pennsylvania mom, who I know wants answers to all of this. Somebody whose life has been turned upside down since January 6th. The media called her the Bullhorn Lady or the Pink Hat Lady. She was there on J6. Yes, she was. Mercer County, mom of eight. One of nearly 1,600 J6 hostages, as President Trump has called them, pardoned by President Trump. Rachel Powell, I just wondered if you could take us through, first of all, did you watch yesterday at all? Are you watching the news? Are you paying attention to, for example, what the future FBI director, Kash Patel, what he's saying, what Trump has said, and just your reaction to some of those headlines as they promise to do a proper investigation to find out everything that happened that day?
You know, I've been so busy just trying to get back into my life. There's so much to figure out and seeing family that I haven't been able to tune into the news as much as I want.
I get it.
But I did listen for a few minutes yesterday while we were driving to Kash Patel, and I have paid attention, and I believe that they are going to investigate into January 6th more, and it's a relief because I don't understand how I sat in a federal prison, the worst female prison in the United States, for a year, and the January 6th committee, they destroyed all of that evidence that they gathered, and yet they all got pardons, and I don't understand, and I'm not saying that everything that happened that day that we were completely innocent, right? January 6th. We didn't go there with the intention of that happening. So how did it happen? Because it wasn't, honestly, it wasn't from people like me showing up thinking we're going to take this capital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've covered it so much. And thank you for saying that, because I've covered this so much for so many years that in the so-called mainstream legacy media, they have to say, well, this was a terrible day. And what happened, it was awful. And you have said, multiple times, and I've read all the court records and, followed your story very carefully, Rachel. And you have said, just like many of your fellow J6ers have said, do I wish that that all had not happened? Do I regret it? And cried over it and all of that? Yes. But as far as looking back, so you were under house arrest. And that impacted your life. Then when you were sentenced to, what was it, 8 years, I believe? Was it eight? 5 years? 8 years?
It was almost 5 years.
Okay. And what they should have done is, and usually they would take in consideration that you were on house arrest with the ankle bracelet, and it was a strict type. There are different kinds of house arrest. It was a very strict one. And so they were not willing to say, well, you had house arrest. It was very strict with an ankle bracelet, and they would have thrown you in jail if you, left your house, that sort of thing. But they did not consider right? They did not consider that.
That's correct. The house arrest was so strict, I couldn't go in the yard. There were times that they would not approve me to take my kids to medical appointments. So there was no haircut, going to get clothes, seeing my kids at sports. Like, there was nothing. There was sitting in the house. And at first, I was at least allowed to go out to work. But after that, they even took that away. Mm-hmm. And so for 3 years, I watched my little girl out the window playing in the yard. That was our life, giving my kids a walkie-talkie to walk up the driveway to go get the mail because I couldn't go with them, and I wanted to make sure they were safe. I could know what they're doing and where they are. And it was a very strange 3 years. And so that counted for nothing. And I don't understand how they can hold an American citizen in a house indefinitely and it doesn't mean anything. But that's the reality. That's what's happening in America. That's what happened to me. And then for a year of federal penitentiary after that, which was supposed to be 5 years, and the conditions were absolutely deplorable in prison. It's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, and you were, and I'll just point out, you were arrested Rachel, it was about a month after J6 or less. It was actually within weeks of it. And so yeah. I know that they put you in a Butler County prison. Then you had the house arrest. So literally from that moment, they had you in some kind of confinement. That, and that's the point that I wanted to put out there. I know that people say that there were all these, there were nine charges. I will report that six of those were actually misdemeanor charges. And three were felonies. I'm just going to say this just as somebody with a news background, that it's very unusual for anybody to ever be charged with a federal misdemeanor. That's extremely unusual. But they wanted to bump the headlines, and people, I'm just going to say, nine federal charges. People often will say nine. And that's just part of the reporting that I had. That's ingrained in me. I just want to give people that perspective. So it was the three, but you were never charged or convicted with any violence against anybody. Is that correct? Or any officers or anything like that?
I did not assault an officer. I don't have any charges where I assaulted an officer. I do own the fact that I did break a window. And so they had me for property destruction, mm-hmm. but that's a misdemeanor. Now, they charged me with having a deadly weapon because I used something that wasn't mine. They call it an ice axe, and I don't know where it came from or where it went. It was in my hands for probably 60 seconds, and that's what I used to break the window. And so they had me for a deadly weapon, but, you know, it was never any assault against a human being. And honestly, the window, what they don't want to talk about is the fact that I had just seen Roseanne Boylan dead at my feet. And it doesn't justify my what I did. But when it's taken in context that the window is a $600 window, and that I do have remorse for my actions, and that there was extreme violence, it felt like war. And can I just pay for the window and then not have my whole life destroyed for it? You know, my whole life has been destroyed over one day, and my children's lives have been destroyed over one day. And now we're sitting here and we're still left rebuilding it. You know, where are we going to live? How am I going to work? I have no car. I sold my house to get through this whole process to pay for it. We have nothing left. Mm-hmm. For one day. And it's really sad. And it's not just me going through this. There's so many January 6th people right now that are trying to. And it should not have gone down like this. We shouldn't have had to suffer the last few years like we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, part of it, and I, just so you know, I have a journalism news background. And so I often talk about television news bias, media bias, whether it's print, broadcast, etc. And so I'll just point out to you that in Philadelphia, I'll just give you an example. There were about 1,000 people who were arrested, and there were investigations during the summer of 2020 in Philadelphia. Just an example of this. And those 1,000 people, some of them looted, some of them burned businesses, some of them were accused of with burning, violence, property destruction, that was a huge issue here in Philadelphia. They were granted a mass amnesty, and nobody talked about it. It was done. And then even those protesters here, and I'm just putting this out there just to remind people, and I know that one is a federal situation, and it's at the Capitol, and that, of course, okay, I'll grant you that. But what we have here is this situation where the media, much of the media, Rachel, I believe, was complicit with the government in not pointing out, because it's the job of the media to be the one who pokes questions, right? Who says, pokes holes in mm-hmm. stuff. They said, well, why are you going after these individuals and not so much of this one? That was not what was happening. And so I will just ask you about the double whammy of that happening. And even in the headlines right now, the Illinois governor, a billionaire, J.D. Pritzker, has just announced that any J6er will not, they can't be hired. And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. It's constantly in the headlines. So you continue to be branded. And that's whenever I interview J6ers, then don't we have a system where if people are, you know, pardoned or you serve your time, what have you, you're allowed to go on with your life. How does that 1-2 punch of the weaponization, then on top of it, the politicization, in other words, by the media, how does that impact your life, Rachel Powell, moving forward with you, your family?
Well, it might be hard, and it's daunting to think about, because I don't know how this is going to unfold, and I don't know what roadblocks lie ahead. I mean, I know right now I'm pretty dependent on people helping me out, like Patriot Freedom Project. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah,
she's been huge. She's helping me get on my feet for a living situation, and she's the one that got me home. But I don't know what I would do without people like that. And but what am I going to do in the future? And I don't know. I don't know. And it hurts. It hurts that the media has continued this false narrative of an insurrection, and it hurts that there are people out there that are still carrying this punishment on. Like, please, please, we have families. Just let us move on with our lives. Let us get jobs and work, because we're hardworking, tax-paying, and other than January 6th, law-abiding American citizens for the most part.
Yeah, and that's another issue that in the headlines, it's, oh, these are dangerous repeat criminals. And I don't see that in your past or in your life.
No, I don't have any kind of criminal history.
So how do you move on from here, Rachel? And I know that off the top you said, yeah, I'm not really paying too much attention to the news. I'm, you know, you're just still trying to reunite. Can you take us through the day that you learned? When did you learn that you would be pardoned by President Trump on the 20th?
Well, okay, so me and another J6 woman, I was in the D.C. jail, what they call the gulag, because I was actually waiting to be resentenced, because I was one of the people that had the 1512 obstruction charge that the Supreme Court threw out last summer. And so to be resentenced from that charge that they should have never given us, I ended up back in D.C. for that resentencing. And so during the inauguration, that's where I was. And so I watched it on TV with Olivia Pollack, who's another, she's a wonderful, beautiful January 6th woman. And we just listened to, he didn't mention January 6th, and then I worried a little bit, but I thought, no, Trump's promises. And I knew he was going to help us, and I didn't know how, and I didn't know when, but I knew it was coming. And so we just kept watching TV the whole day. We were watching, and then there started to be sprinkles of him talking about it. And then by that evening, we knew we were going to be free. And we actually thought we would be out that night. But since we were in D.C., you know, the D.C. jail tried to hold us in. It took the marshals coming in to get me out of that place. And, you know, that's a whole another story, more time than what we have today. But, so that's how I found out. And I can just tell you, it felt so wonderful. Such a relief to know that walking through hell was over. And I think about that, and that's just the beginning of Trump keeping his promises. You know, things do we have to look forward to over the next couple years?
Yeah, I mean, two things. I do want to ask you in a second your reaction to what if you could say directly a message to President Trump, what would you say him? I'll ask you that in a moment. But I want to ask this question, Rachel. What can you share with us what that reunion was like with your kids?
Okay, so it's indescribable. Like, when I am getting off of the plane, I just kept almost crying, you know? And there was an older lady sitting beside me, and she had heard my story on our trip on the plane, and she actually was walking beside me. And then I saw my kids, and my little girl, she's only 8, she just started running for me, and she just jumped into my arms, and it was beautiful, and so much joy just overflowing. And then my boys were there and one of my daughters, and we just had this big, beautiful group hug, probably the longest group hug we've ever had in our family. And it was awesome. And I just can't even describe to you how good it felt to have that moment with my family and just to know that it's over.
You know, what do you say when your kids say, "Mommy, why," you know, especially with an 8-year-old, she was a little girl. I mean, "Mommy, why did you do that? What, how do you explain that to your own kids?" You know, because we as mom, I'm a mom, you know what I mean? And they're always asking questions. And so how do you explain what happened in your mindset and why you did what you did that? Why did you even, you know, go there, and why, how did that all unfold?
Well, you know, I'm a parent that I'm a homeschooling mom. And so I believe in educating our children, and I don't hide things from them. So as soon as everything happened at the Capitol and I came home, I explained to my children what happened, and I showed them the videos. And so they knew. They knew about the violence. They knew that I saw somebody die. They knew everything. And so they were prepared, just like I was. You know, we knew that something bad was going to happen. We didn't think it would be as bad as it was, but we knew that the FBI or somebody was probably going to show up, or there would be police knocking at the door. And I just took that time to find legal help at the beginning. And that's how it's been all the way through. My kids have been there with me. We've discussed it. They've heard some discussions. They watched me get a lawyer. They've been to all of my court hearings. And so I don't think there was ever a time that one of my kids had to ask, you know, "How, Mommy, why?" Because I've been open from the beginning with them about everything.
And I guess part of the message is when you go do something, even if you've never had a criminal record before, you have to pay for it. And that's a lesson that they've learned and how they feel. Having gone through that, does that change your, you know, what you want to do with career, job? You know, you talked about the deplorable conditions in the prison. I don't know. Does this change the path of your life? Maybe that you would, I don't know, want to educate people on these issues or what?
Absolutely. I cannot wait for prison reform, and I think that the time is right to do that. And I think that those of us that have experienced those prison conditions, we really need to speak out. And I don't know if that will affect the future of my career or not, but if it does, I'm willing. If those doors open, I'll be there, because I do have a powerful testimony, as do other January 6th people, and I did diligently use the remedy process and try to write things up, and I documented a lot that I sent out and wrote letters to members of Congress and to advocate groups,
Rachel,
when I was in there.
Rachel, I know you have to go. Just final few seconds. If you could speak to President Trump right now, what would you say?
I would just tell him he will never know what a blessing he has been to my family. And I truly believe in you, Trump, and I believe that you're going to do great things in the next 4 years, and we believe in you. We've always stood by you, and thank you for saving my family's life. I mean, really, that's what he did. He saved my family from years of hell and torment, just signing a paper, and I'm so thankful.
Rachel Powell, thank you so much, and just your honesty with all of this. It's a great message, and really a plea for redemption and not to be branded. Rachel Powell, thank you. I hope you come back. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Really appreciate you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.